Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ooredoo Group Full Year 2018 Financial Results Investor Call and Webcast. I will now hand over to Mr. Andreas Goldu. Sir, please go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mahaban bikum fi hadi mukalama. Hello and welcome to Ooredoo's Financial Results Call. My name is Andreas Goldau and I'm in charge of investor relations. As part of today's discussion, I'm pleased to introduce Hans Kuropatwa from our strategy team and RJ Bahri, our group financial officer, and Sarah Al-Fayed from the investor relations team. We start with an overview of the group results followed by the Q&A session. The presentation is available on our website at ooredoo.com as well as on the webcast. Please do note the usual disclaimer on slide number 2. So to begin, I will now hand over to RJ.
Thank you, Andreas, and thanks to everyone for joining today's call. During 2018, we've made good progress with our strategic initiatives, driving forward our digital transformation. Technological advances have been made possible to connect more people than ever before. With the rise of mobile data, is connecting a greater number of people and businesses to the global economy, including those we are proud to serve in the emerging markets we operate in. While we see tremendous opportunities in these changes, they have put pressure on traditional revenue streams such as voice and SMS. For our business to succeed in this rapidly changing market environment, we need to evolve. Therefore, I'm proud to say that we have taken a leadership role in technological deployment. Our digital transformation is enriching our customers' digital lives. And we're also helping us capture more value from the market and paving the way to long-term growth. In Qatar in 2018, we launched the world's first commercially available 5G network and became the first telecom operator to test self-driving 5G connected aerial taxis. In Algeria, we maintain our data leadership, providing the greatest 4G coverage in the country, reaching 48% of the population and all 48 wilayas. In the Maldives, we launched our SuperNet service in 11 new islands, achieving a total coverage of 20 islands. These are just a few examples. Data continues to be centric to our business. We've seen significant increase in demand from our customers and enterprise consumers, with data revenue now accounting for 47% of total group revenue. Our business has the right setup to capture the growth of demand of data. During 2018, we also made good progress expanding beyond our traditional telecom business and have unlocked new revenue streams from ICT and end-to-end solutions. Financially, we are impacted by challenges in some of our key markets, putting pressure on our business performance. Group revenue for the year was 29.9 billion riyals, and EBITDA margin stood at 41%. Our results were impacted overall by foreign exchange weakness in emerging markets, as well as the changing market dynamics in Indonesia, resulting from new regulation to require SIM card registrations. Indonesia remains our second biggest revenue generator after our home market in Qatar, and I'm pleased to report that we're beginning to see the first sign of recovery in Indonesia with two consecutive quarters of quarter-on-quarter revenue growth in Q3 2018 and Q4 2018. This is a testament to the fact that our new strategy in Indonesia is starting to pay results. To oversee and support the implementation of our strategy, we appointed Mr. Vikram Sinha as an advisor to Indosat Ooredoo's Chief Executive Officer. Mr. Sinha brings a wealth of knowledge and experience from his time as CEO of Ooredoo Maldives and Myanmar. Finally, I'm pleased to share that Watania Mobile in Palestine was successfully branded to Ooredoo Palestine, enabling it to benefit from group-derived synergies, leading to improvements in Ooredoo Palestine's commercial and technical operations. So let's move on to slide number 5, revenue and EBITDA. This quarter, we have made some changes to our investor deck. Since most of your questions in the past have been based on sequential quarterly results, we've optimized the slide layout. Hopefully, this will make it easier for you to see the trends and analyze the results. Let's move to slide number 5 for more information about the group revenue and EBITDA. Similar to the results for the first 9 months of 2018, group revenue for the year was impacted by a weak performance in Indonesia, with the regulation on SIM card registrations continued to impact our top-line performance. As mentioned in last quarter's call, in Indonesia, we've changed our strategy from a push to a pull distribution strategy. We're starting to see a positive impact from this change, and sequentially, top-line growth is returning in Indonesia. Revenue growth generated in Kuwait and Oman was offset by reductions in Algeria and Myanmar. Revenue from Qatar, Iraq, and Tunisia remained flat. OPEX was maintained through tight cost control and group efficiency. However, due to lower revenue, EBITDA decreased. EBITDA margin is solid at 41%. We will continue to focus on cost management and efficiency. Let's move to slide 6. The decrease in group net profit was mainly caused by the market adjustment in Indonesia and the challenging market conditions in Algeria, as well as by FX losses in Myanmar. The net impact of FX losses amounted to 346 million riyals during the year. That said, it's important to note that we continue to make good progress with our efficiency program and reported a net profit attributable to a shareholder of 1.6 billion riyals. On a quarterly basis, net profit increased 40% in Q4 2018 compared to the same period last year. The increase was mainly due to lower taxes, regulatory provisions, and foreign exchange gains in Q4 2018. Next slide, please. CapEx was up 7% in line with our guidance. Our investments have positioned the company for future growth, mainly 5G deployment in Qatar and 4G deployment and digitization across other key markets. Furthermore, our global sourcing strategy enabled us to optimize CapEx by taking advantage of Ooredoo Group's scale. Free cash flow declined 20% to 4.9 billion, impacted by lower EBITDA and the increase in CapEx. Slide 8, total customers. Group customer number decreased to 115 million, mainly driven by Indosat. However, we recorded strong growth in Palestine, Iraq, Kuwait, Tunisia, and Myanmar. We expect customer numbers to begin stabilizing as the SIM card registration process in Indonesia has now been finalized. Slide 9, net debt. I'm pleased to report that we have a healthy and well-balanced debt profile. Net debt continues to decline down 11% in 2018. Our net debt to EBITDA ratio is at 1.8 times, which is at the lower end of a long-term guidance of between 1.5 to 2.5 times. Group debt remains mainly at a corporate level, largely in Qatar, followed by Indonesia, then a smaller percentage allocated to the other opcos. As a reminder, debt at the opco level is kept primarily in local currency. Let's move to slide 10, performance summary and 2018 guidance. With regard to 2018 guidance, as previously discussed, 2018 has been a very challenging year for the group impacted by regulatory changes, new taxes, and difficult market conditions. Especially in the second half of the year, intensified price war and aggressive market in Algeria and Myanmar adversely impacted revenues, resulting in revenue and EBITDA guidance miss. Capital expenditure supported by our group-wide sourcing initiatives are in line with guidance, growing 7.3% year-on-year. Regarding 2019 outlook, on the revenue side, we remain cautiously optimistic about the recovery in Indonesia market, which has a significant impact on our top line and bottom line results. We expect local currency revenue growth in 2019 in most of our markets. However, potential currency depreciation in emerging market countries will impact Qatari Riyal reported figures. Overall, we expect a minus 3% to 0% revenue year on year in 2019. On the EBITDA side, our guidance is excluding the IFRS 16 impact, that's a new accounting standard for accounting for leases. Excluding that impact, we expect a minus 7% to minus 4% EBITDA decline year over year in 2019, mostly due to lower revenue. Another point to highlight is that in 2018, EBITDA included one-off benefits from share of associates, which are not likely to materialize again in 2019. And that's why you see a higher decline in EBITDA compared to the revenue. On the CapEx side, we maintained disciplined CapEx approach supported by group-wide purchasing efficiencies. In 2019, Indosat and Algeria continue to invest in network supporting revenue recovery. Overall, we expect CapEx in 2019 to be between 5.5 billion to 6.5 billion riyals. And in addition, we will update you on IFRS 16 impact in 2019 in the following quarters. Please turn to slide number 12 for an operational overview of our opcos. Qatar. In the home market in Qatar, we maintained our number one position supported by our leading network infrastructure, which is ranked amongst the fastest globally. We continued to lead the global race to provide 5G services with 95G sites live across the country. Financially, revenue was slightly down due to reduced handset sales. However, underlying service revenue remained stable during the year. EBITDA increased 2%, supported by cost optimizations and our digital transformation program. Sequentially, while revenue remained steady, EBITDA margin improved. We continue to diversify our revenue, with Ooredoo TV growing its customer base by 4% quarter on quarter. Slide 13, Indonesia. As already discussed, Indosat Ooredoo top line performance continues to be impacted by the new regulation. However, sequentially, we are seeing top line growth from quarter two onwards. Q4 EBITDA temporarily under pressure due to investment on network expansion and one-off marketing expenses. We've changed our strategy to focus on pull sales activity rather than push marketing. This is designed to increase revenue from bundles and packages. We expect this to lead to a more loyal customer base, lower churn rates, and eventually higher margins. Churn on our customer base has already stabilized, and revenue improved by 12% quarter on quarter, supported by both mobile and fixed business. We expect to see improvements continue in 2019. As stated earlier, we appointed Vikram Sinha, who was previously the CEO of Ooredoo Maldives in Myanmar, as an advisor to Indosat Ooredoo CEO. We are confident that the depth of knowledge and experience that he brings from his previous postings will be an asset to Indosat Ooredoo. Operationally, we expanded our 4G plus network into the fourth province in North Sumatra, with a 4G network coverage reaching 80% of the population. In Indonesia, we deployed the Smart Cities Initiative to manage public services, which was recognized as the most innovative smart city project by Telecom Asia in 2018. Moving on to the next slide, Iraq. In Iraq, we continue to see the benefits of the improvement in security situation. Excluding the impact of IFRS 15, the full-year revenue grew 3.3%. Year-on-year EBITDA increased by 6% due to prudent management and stringent cost control. Quarter-on-quarter revenue was lower due to seasonality and increased competition. Q3 is normally seasonally better because of certain festivals. Similar to previous year, Q4 EBITDA was lower due to revenue impact and also due to one-off provisions related to year-end. Q4 EBITDA margin was similar to that of previous year. We continue to restore connectivity in the liberated areas, and by doing so, we contribute to the economic growth of the people of Iraq. We also launched our B2B service during the quarter and received Logic Manager's Risk Maturity Model Award. Moving on to the next slide, Oman. Ooredoo Oman continues to report good financial results with growth across the board. Growth was supported by our focus on digital enablement as we catered to the changing needs of both business and consumers across Oman. To maintain our digital competitiveness, we launched new services and products designed to elevate customers' digital experience. We received approval for the renewal of our Ooredoo Oman's mobile license for 15-year period starting Feb 2020. The renewal fee of 75 million Omani riyals is to be paid into installments in 2020 and 2021. Excluding IFRS impact, year-on-year revenue increased 3%, improving overall EBITDA. Revenue and EBITDA performance was stable quarter-on-quarter. Let's move to slide 16, Kuwait. In Kuwait, we reported a strong revenue increase for the year, up 9% compared to previous year. Growth was mainly driven by increased handset sales, which also impacted our margins. The market continues to be very competitive, but I'm pleased to report a 4% increase in customer numbers, indicating good demand for our products and services. Quarter-on-quarter revenue was up 9%, driven by service revenue as well as device sales. EBITDA margin also improved to 31% in quarter four from 23% in the previous quarter. The improvement was driven by higher revenues and one-off adjustments of cost provisions in Q4. We expanded our B2B offering by partnering with SAP to provide enterprise cloud services, leveraging our existing state-of-the-art data centers. The partnership will enable us to provide end-to-end IT solutions to strategic enterprise clients, creating a new revenue stream for the business. We're also providing a disaster recovery center for Bursa, the Kuwait Stock Exchange. Ooredoo Kuwait has been recognized by winning various awards, including Employer of Choice by LinkedIn. Moving on to the next slide, Nigeria. You will see that the situation in Nigeria continues to be challenging with difficult economic conditions, including the devaluation of the Algerian dinar, persistent price war, and overall market shrinkage. As a result, Ooredoo's total revenue in local currency terms decreased 15% year-on-year and 4% quarter-on-quarter, with corresponding impact on EBITDA. Operationally, we maintain our mobile data leadership by providing the greatest 4G coverage in the country, reaching 48% of the population and 48 wilayas. Okla has once again recognized our leadership in terms of network speed in 3G and 4G in Nigeria. We also increased our brand equity to target corporate communications, product marketing, and football sponsorships. Moving on to the next slide, Tunisia. Tunisia delivered another robust set of results this quarter. We maintained our leadership in the mobile market and grew customer numbers by 8% during the year. Revenue grew 9% year-on-year in local currency. From 2018 onwards, the revenues are to be grossed up for royalty tax, and the full-year impact was reflected in Q4 2018. On a normalized basis, revenue grew by 4%. This is offset by Tunisian dinar depreciation of 9% year-on-year. Growth was driven by mobile data and VAS services, as well as fixed revenue and handset sales. EBITDA decreased as a result of higher interconnect, commission, and acquisition costs, as well as increased OPEX due to change in royalty accounting. Moving on to slide 25, Myanmar. In spite of Mitel's entry as fourth operator in June 2018, and aggressive price competition, Ooredoo's revenue remained flat year-on-year. With the exclusion of IFRS 15 impact in 2018, revenue would have grown by 5%. Through careful cost control measures and digital transformation, EBITDA margin improved year-on-year from 11% to 15%. However, Myanmar currency depreciated by 16% year-on-year. Quarter-on-quarter revenue are down 6% due to intense competition. Q4 EBITDA margin is impacted due to lower revenues. Ooredoo Myanmar increased its customer base by 21%, supported by a strong brand recognition, as is evident by the fact that we remain the most recommended brand by users in Myanmar. Operationally, our digital initiatives are yielding results, with the My OML app monthly active users reaching 15% of our monthly data users. This concludes the presentation. I now hand you back to Andreas.
Thank you, Ajay. Before we move on to the Q&A part, two further points from the investor relations team. First of all, we would like to thank everyone who voted for us in the Qatar Exchange IR Awards. This year, we won Best CEO, Best CFO, IRO, Best Overall IR, and a silver medal in the IR website category. We highly appreciate your continuous support. On a different topic, we haven't hosted a Capital Market Day for some time, but now we are looking into an event probably on the 19th of June and potentially in Oman. Further details to be confirmed, but please already save the date in your calendars. And now we're going to start the Q&A session. If the operator could please explain how to ask questions, you can ask questions over the phone and also on the webcast. Operator, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, for those who are dialing in via phone line, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. For our webcast participants, to participate in our written Q&A, type your question into the Ask a Question text area, then click the Submit button. Thank you for holding until we have our first question. Our first question comes from Nishit Lakovi at SICO. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for the call. Nishit Lakovi from SICO. I have two questions. One on the miscellaneous income for Ooredoo. It's been very significant this year. I know you've given 2 points, gain on loss of control of subsidiary and compensation received for performing certain one-off ancillary services in Qatar. But around half a billion riyals is from this ancillary services in Qatar. So exactly how sustainable is it? And if you can share more color on what exactly was this component, that would be very helpful. That's my first question. Second is on the guidance. Given that you had almost 700 million plus in miscellaneous income, which is not that sustainable, and you're almost guiding at a lower EBITDA as well for next year. So how should we look at the bottom line for 2019? Thank you.
Okay, thank you for the question. See, as far as miscellaneous income is concerned, during the quarter, the only difference, a large basis, was that we had a foreign exchange gain this year compared to a very low foreign exchange gain last year. And during the quarter, if you look at certain tax provisions, which we did, were lower this quarter compared to last year's quarter four. The question you've asked is more from quarter three, and like we explained last year, these are the income that you see from ancillary services was a one-off income. It's not expected to repeat. It's related to historical discussions. So it was more a settlement of certain one-off ancillary services. So, but that will not repeat in the coming quarters or next year. As far as the guidance is concerned, the guidance we normally give is for three line items, which is revenue, EBITDA, and CapEx. And we don't give guidance on net profit. However, one can obviously translate the EBITDA impact with your own analysis to bottom line.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Dilia Ibrahimova, Citi. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi. Thank you very much for the opportunity to answer the questions. I had a couple of questions, please. First is on your M&A strategies, or actually two on M&A. First on Indonesia. In the past, you have commented that the regulatory regime was an obstacle for in-market consolidation. And also in terms of in-market consolidation, you mentioned that you, in the past, that you prefer to rather than being an active participant, you would rather be taking a potential benefit from consolidation happening. Considering the comments this morning from the minister that the rules may be changing and the spectrum transfer rules specifically may be relaxed, how does that affect your position on M&A in the market? So that's question number one, whether you would reconsider participation and consolidation potentially. Second question on M&A is on more on a strategic footprint. In the past, you commented that you see Middle East and Asia as your strategic area for the operations. Is it still the same, or do you see an opportunity for rebalancing footprint and maybe be more focused on Middle East? So these are the two questions on M&A. I have two other questions, but I can ask them later or straight away. What's the better way?
Yeah, maybe we cover the M&A questions first. Hans,
thanks.
If you want to comment on it?
Yes. I think certainly the moves that were announced yesterday by the Minister in Indonesia are helpful in two ways. I think one, it shows that the administration are thinking about this matter and are generally supportive of consolidation. And B, I do think they have some practical merit for those considering consolidation. So I think it's helpful. As has been reported in the press, there have been many discussions between various players in Indonesia over time. I don't think there's anything more I can say on any specifics of any transactions in Indonesia, but the general environment, I think it's a helpful development. On the second point, strategic footprint, no, I don't think there's any change from our stated position of being having an important footprint both in the Middle East and Asia, and we're not considering any significant change in that portfolio balance.
That's very helpful. Thank you very much. Maybe on just on the in-market consolidation, to clarify whether your position has changed in the way, how would you consider whether you'd consider participating or it would depend on opportunities, or you'd rather take a passive role?
Look, I think it's something that everyone has given consideration to in the Indonesian market. I think we've commented as much in previous calls. I think the current move is the current announced move on spectrum is helpful, but I don't think it's absolutely decisive in pushing anyone to make a decision.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you very much. And just a couple of questions outside of M&A, if I may. First is on just accounting question. You mentioned that some of the three of the opcos, I think, have been affected. The revenue there has been affected by the accounting issues, and that's netting off the revenue. May I just clarify, does that affect only 2018 revenue? So if we compare trends 2018 after netting off versus 2017, would that be not quite comparable because 2017 is still on the gross revenue, whatever the change in accounting was? So maybe the 2017 versus 2018 is not quite comparable. So that's one. Second is on, you commented that the TV subscriber growth in Qatar was very strong, and I was just wondering what's driving that specifically in Q4. There, is it pricing? Is it advertising? Or is it some maybe Asian Asia Cup events? So if you could comment what's driving that and what your expectations there. And the third comment is on dividends. if you could comment what is behind the decision to reduce dividend this year. Is it the performance this year? And how you planning to deploy the cash that you will have from, available from reducing the dividend? Are you planning to use that to continue deleveraging, or maybe some financial support will be required to some of the operations, or maybe the decision to cut the dividend reflects your outlook for 2019?
Okay, thank you for the question, especially the one on IFRS 15, because I think my comments may have caused some confusion there. So IFRS 15 impact, you can actually see in the financial statements notes, and the overall revenue impact is not material compared to 2017, if you want to see. However, a certain amount of impact was recorded in quarter four for the full year. So the three opcos that we talk about, so my first comment is on total revenue for the group. So if you look at total revenue for the group, the reported versus what was last year on a total basis is more or less comparable. However, individual opcos have a different situation. So three opcos where we made the adjustment is because in quarter four, we had passed an adjustment relating to the full year. So in the reported numbers that you see in our press release and the financial statement, it is in quarter four. However, the OPCO schedules that we've given you in the presentation and in the supplementary schedules, we've distributed that impact to each quarter for quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, and quarter four. So the total revenue number that you'll see in the supplementary schedules for quarter four will be higher than the quarter four revenue that we reported in our press release. So the idea was that you can actually see the quarter-on-quarter development, which is like-to-like. For these opcos, the last year numbers of revenue are not adjusted as allowed by the accounting standard. The only adjustment is done to opening retained earnings. So when you look at year-on-year numbers, for these opcos, you will see a lower revenue in 2018 because you'll see lower revenue in 18 compared to 17, and compared to certain competition like in Iraq also you might see that impact. But going forward, 18 to 19 comparison will be on a like-to-like basis. I hope that's clear.
That's helpful. Thank you.
And if we come to the Ooredoo TV, of course, the growth has been very promising. And in fact, we've been growing quarter on quarter, starting from the beginning of the year itself. And it's a combination of the content that we're providing. The content has improved over time, as well as a combination of pricing, which is also a function of negotiations that we do. So a combination of these two things. And at the same time, we've been rolling out the network, fiber network as well, to new areas also, where also we get new customers.
Thank you.
The last question was on dividends. So the dividend payout ratio is not very dissimilar from what we did last year. So the profits, as you know, are down compared to last year. So the dividend cut, in a way, is reflecting that. And you also know from the previous question that a lot of one-off items in the net profit, excluding which the operational net profit is lower for the year. So once you look at the dividend payout more from the perspective of performance for this year, and more, you can say, in line with the payout ratios which we've done historically.
That's helpful. Thank you very much. And may I just ask on the support to OPCOs, Myanmar and Indonesia, whether you still see them as self-sustained in terms of funding, or whether you see need to offer some financial support from the group?
See, Indosat has historically been self-funding, and they intend to continue to access the debt capital markets and the bank loan markets for their debt financing needs. that's business as usual for them. Myanmar, on the other hand, we have been funding from the group, and we expect that at least for this year, that may still continue, but we expect things to be changing after 1 year.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Ziadi Thani from Arkham Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the presentation. Just a couple of questions. First of all, on the Iraqi market, it seems now this is your second biggest EBITDA contributor. So I'm just looking at the numbers, and you mentioned that the revenue was negatively impacted on IFRS 15. Is it possible to quantify the impact? Because you added 10% of your subscriber base in year on year, but your revenue is down almost 1% in Q4. And also on that same market, any news for the bid for a fourth license? When does your actually mobile license expire?
I was talking with the mute on, so that's why the delay in responding. So as far as the Iraqi market is concerned, you will see that in quarter four, we've done the adjustment for previous quarter revenue numbers. So if you look at quarter three, quarter two numbers, what we reported this quarter with what we reported last year, you'll see the adjustment there. So that will give you an indication of what the IFRS 15 adjustment is approximately. That's as far as the adjustments concerned. As far as the performance itself is concerned, see, in this quarter there has been some intensity in price competition, and that has impacted the performance. However, quarter three normally is very good in Iraq. Albania is there, which is a festival where a lot of people come from outside the country. So quarter three normally is better. So the decline quarter on quarter is more seasonality rather than any decline in performance. So when you compare performance against competition, I think it will be good to take into account the IFRS 15 adjustment for like-to-like comparison. And your last question, if you can remind me. The fourth entry license. Yeah, the fourth entry license, we don't have any update on that as yet. We've heard talks of that in the past, but nothing has been announced as yet. As far as our license is concerned, by memory, I think it was 15 years license. We still have maybe 5 years to go, but let's reconfirm that offline to you.
And why aren't you investing much in Iraq? Your CapEx intensity is almost 3%.
I think there's more a delay in terms of moving equipment from different regions to Sulaymaniyah. The customs control which we implemented this year made it difficult for some of the equipment to move around. Some projects are in progress. So there is no conscious effort to not invest. It's just a question of timing. In fact, we're a market leader there. We want to retain that leadership through having the best network here.
Can you repatriate money out of Iraq?
Yes, we can.
There's no limit on that. So you've been taking dividends?
Historically, it really depends on the liquidity of dollars in the market. So there have been times, especially the last couple of years, where it was difficult to get dollars out. Things are a little better recently. So it comes and goes, you know, in terms of the availability of dollars. Yeah. But historically, I've probably mentioned that in some calls a long time back, we pulled out up to $1 billion over this 10-year period of time. So
sorry, how much?
That almost $1 billion we pulled out, including the repayment of a loan or something which we'd given
okay.
the license.
Yeah. Loan.
So we're talking about over a 10-year period, right? So Iraq doesn't normally have issues with dollars, given that it's an oil-based economy.
Yeah.
It was because of the political instability of the last couple of years where we've had issues. Things recently have been a little positive. We've been able to upstream some of the funds which were not moving earlier.
Okay, and when can we expect 4G in that market?
That's a combination of what the regulator wants to do and the use of frequencies and extra spectrum. So we'll have to wait for public announcements for that.
Okay, second question on Tunisia. You mentioned EBITDA declined because of higher OPEX, but also a change in royalty accounting. Can you shed some color on this?
Sure. So the company pays royalty, and it also has to pay VAT on the revenues. So in the past, the royalty was paid net of VAT, which the government has clarified that you have to pay royalty on VAT as well. So what it means is you record your revenue on a gross basis, and then on gross basis you pay your royalty. Your revenue goes up because of the grossing up, but your royalty payment amount goes up. So what comes back as expense is a higher number, so you end up paying higher royalty. And this whole adjustment for Q4, in Q4 the whole year adjustment is sitting over there.
And so how much is the royalty?
See, the total impact of this thing is about 10 million TND for us. So on an EBITDA basis, that's the amount you have to consider as a one-off item, which has impacted us at quarter four.
Only 10 million?
10 million TND coming in quarter four as the extra cost because of this grossing up.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
We have one more information for you with regards to the Iraqi license. That was indeed a 15-year license issued in August 2007, and it's going to expire at the end of August in 2022.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So less than 3 years. Okay, great. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. To participate in our written Q&A, type your question into the Ask a Question text area, then click the Submit button.
Maybe we take one of the webcast questions. There's a question regarding Indosat. Any guidelines for 2019? How are you going to fund the CapEx for the next year and 2020?
So the guidance for 2019 for Indosat will be given by Indosat. Andreas, do we have the dates for that as yet?
It's going to be sometime in March.
Sometime in March. So when they have their analyst call, I think they will share with you the guidance. As far as CapEx is concerned, we had a question earlier on about self-funding for Indosat. I think I've answered that question already.
Great. Thank you, Ajay. Any more questions from the telephone line?
We have a question from Omar Maher from EFG Hermes. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, gents. Just one follow-up question on the miscellaneous income. Just wanted to check if my calculation is correct. The implied like miscellaneous income for the fourth quarter only is around 300 million Qatari riyals. Is that correct?
Could you repeat the question, please?
So on the miscellaneous income line, the implied figure that I have for the fourth quarter is around 300 million riyal for 4Q only. And I was wondering if you could clarify, whether this has more to do with the loss of control of the subsidiary or the ancillary services that you booked in Qatar.
Just to be clear, for some reason the line is not very clear. Are we talking about quarter four miscellaneous income?
Yes.
Only quarter four. Okay, quarter four miscellaneous income has two, three elements in it. One, of course, is the foreign exchange gain. So this quarter, unlike previous quarters, we have had foreign exchange gain. So that's been a positive impact for us. If you look at Myanmar and indeed Indosat as well, that's one reason. The second is in that in previous quarters of Q4 2017, we had certain one-off provision for taxes for previous years in a couple of our operations, which would be Algeria and Iraq, which was not there this quarter. And also there were certain impairment provisions related to our investments in quarter four of last year. So it is, in comparison to last year, you'll see a delta, which is because of these reasons.
Sorry, Ajay, are we talking about miscellaneous income that is under other income, which is note 9 in the financial statements?
That's right.
Okay, because in the financial statements it says that this is mainly the gain on loss of the control of the subsidiary and the ancillary services in Qatar.
Okay, so maybe you're talking about the line, specific line item there. So the gain on loss of subsidiary, yeah, is actually the gain we got in Indonesia, where one of their subsidiaries, Artajasa, was converted to associate. And when this happens, you have to do fair value accounting. So the fair value gain went to the income for the year. So that's the one-off item, you're right.
And so there's almost 300 million in additional one-off in the fourth quarter alone from this line, correct?
This is not in quarter four. The quarter four, the loss of subsidy is actually more coming from previous quarters. We explained that in previous quarters, yeah.
But the ancillary services is actually what contributed to the bulk of the gain in 4Q.
Again, the ancillary services are also from previous quarter we talked about. And maybe if you send your specific question in an email to us, we'll definitely answer that. But just to take your point and link it to the dividend payments, I think the point really is there's a lot of one-off items which come this year which are not going to be repeated. And if I understand the question in detail offline, we'll definitely pick it up with you.
Sure, sounds good. If I may just add one more question, could you maybe clarify what is the nature of these ancillary services in Qatar again?
Like we explained last time as well, these are one-off non-telecom services in the nature of doing some mega projects, which are not which services are given along with those projects. So since these are not telecom services, this revenue is going as other income. If they were telecom services directly related to our business, it would have gone as revenue. But these are one-off opportunities which were seen in certain projects.
All right, that's clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Omar. Yeah, if you have any follow-up questions there, shoot me an email, and for the others, we will share that information in the transcript of this call that is available for everyone. Any other questions?
We have no further questions. Mr. Andres, back to you for the conclusion.
Excellent. Thank you very much, operator. And thank you all for joining today's call. Please refer to the Ooredoo Investor Relations website for additional updates. Follow us now on Twitter at OoredooIR, or feel free to contact the Investor Relations team for further information. We look forward to your future participation in our next update, probably around the 29th of April. And do remember to save the date on the Capital Markets Day, June 19th, probably in Muscat. Meanwhile, thank you again for your continued interest in Ooredoo.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.